哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay, 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 ay.
My name is Jacob Owen, and my Eskimo name is Dukunga. I grew up in Death Valley. That's about 90 miles from Nome. That's around Fish River area. Up in Death Valley, my grandpa made a log cabin up there. He had two caches out there in the front. And then down by the lake, she had another camp down there. There was another cache there, where they put stuff away when they subsistence hunting, you know. We were the only family there, my mother's side and my dad's side. So I think I was lucky. I had grandparents. When I talk to people, they say they didn't have no grandparents, see. They always wished they had grandparents. And when I look back, my growing up years, I had my choice of staying in both sides of my grandparents, see? So I was lucky, I can say I was lucky. I followed my grandpa around. In the fall, he'd go set fish traps. I'd go with him, I'd help him. We'd put Lincoln fish traps in the river, then I'd help him. That's at the headwaters of Koyuk. That's where Death Valley is. We'd go down and set traps. We'd leave them in the water only in a day. And then we'd pull them out when they get full, you know. We had to use rope to roll them because they were so full of fish. I asked my grandpa, why not leave them overnight? He said, uh-uh. He said, if we leave them overnight, they'll break that fish trap. So he used to get me a stick. When we spilled those fish linkards on top of the ice, I'd use that stick to club them and then straighten them out and freeze them, see? Then pile them like cordwood. When we take them home, we put them away. We use them for dog feed, human feed, you know, both. And then when he go out hunting, I'd go with him. When I got big enough so I could follow him around, he'd take me along. He showed me how to hunt and talk to me about animals, where they are, where to find them and all that. You know, when I was a kid, we used to go out hunting with my dad and my grandpa, grandparents. You don't see that anymore. It's different now. Parents, they need to spend more time with their children now. It's different. Everything is so easy now. It wasn't like that when we were growing up. We had to do it the hard way. But that was good, though. In them days, in most subsistence living. You know, I could go both ways, either subsistence lifestyle or white man lifestyle. Wouldn't bother me. I could go either way, see, because I lived through it, so I know. But children now, it's different. If they had to do what we did when we were growing up, I don't think they'd make it. We never got in trouble when I was a kid. You know, we had so much to do, we'd bother with getting into trouble, see? Now the kids have got nothing to do, they get in trouble, see? Now it's different. When I was growing up, families were close-knitted together. And then you help your neighbors, the widows in the village, We take care of them. We chop wood for them, pack water, give them food. Best chore I ever had was chopping wood. That was my favorite. I chop wood at home. I chop wood for my grandparents. My brother would pack water. He never liked to chop wood, but I liked to. I chop wood any day. There was no welfare them days, so we'd put away a lot of fish in the summer. We'd share it with the less fortunate. My dad never sold any dried fish. People would want to buy fish. He said, I'll give you fish. You might have something that I want, just trade it. You might have reindeer meat or dried meat or something I want. That he never sell any dried fish. I had lots of brothers and sisters, 12 or 13, but most of them died when they had the flu. My two younger sisters died a week apart when they had the diphtheria. So the only sister we had, us boys, was my older sister, Helen. And then when she got married, we were nothing but boys at home. Man, I used to wish I had a sister. And I envy those boys with sisters in the family. We were all boys at home, no sisters. So one day from school, when I went home, Mom was home. When I went in, she was all smiled. She's always smiling anyhow. While I was in there, I heard a little baby made noise in the bedroom. In Mom's bed was a little newborn baby. I looked at Mom, I said, "Whose?" She said, "Ours." I said, I know she couldn't make no baby. She had to convince me that was ours. Well, where'd you get it then? Auntie Martha, my uncle's wife, they had 8 girls. They gave us that little girl. And that's when I picked her up. To hold her. I even pack her. I wanted to pack her one day. My mother, she didn't believe me. There were a bunch of little girls out there my age packing babies after school. So I got Mama Parker. I put it on. She had to put that baby in the little baby in my back, tied it up. I went out to those girls, nothing but girls. They giggled. So I went there. I was so proud of my little sister packing it. They giggled and they'd laugh. But after a while, they got used to me. They'd come and get me. I tried to pack my little sister with those girls. No boys made fun of me. Heck, I had deaf ears because I was packing my little sister. That's how much I loved her. We had to move to White Mountain so us kids can go to school, see? There was no school up Death Valley, so my dad and them, they moved to White Mountain, made the house there, we went to school there. There was lots of noise, you know, in the village at first, but I got used to it. Up out in the country, you get nice and quiet. You could see animals, you know, hear animals, but in the village, you couldn't do that. So I missed that wilderness out there when I first moved, but I got used to it. I was sickly when I was growing up. And then I missed days in school, weeks on end, because I was sickly. But I kept my grades up, and I was a straight-A student. I helped my younger brother graduate with me. I helped him out, otherwise he wouldn't have made it if I didn't help him out. You know, when we had spelling matches in school, the whole school, on Fridays, they'd have spelling match. The teacher would say something to spell it. Anyone knew how to spell that, they'd have to raise your hand. See, I'd raise my hand, I'd spell it out. He'd say another word, I'd put my hand up. I'd spell it out, okay. He'd say another word, I'd put my hand up. I'd spell it out. She said, hey, Jake, yeah, you keep your hand down. Let someone else, so let someone else spell that word. I skipped 3 grades when I went to school, when I first started going to school. You know, one thing I liked to do was read. I used to read everything, any labels or, you know, books. And then I memorized my multiplication tables, you know, get them in here. I'd get bored, but everything was so easy, you know. We had a shop next door. I used to go in there in class time, work on the sled we made. My dad was our instructor. We made basket sleds by hand. Next to my desk was a seine à knit, BIA furnished this twine. When everybody was doing their schoolwork right there at the desk, my eye was all caught up. I used to just knit there, sit there, knit there on my seine. Otherwise, I would get bored, see. Them girls my age used to come with their homework. I'd help them out. But soon I got tired of doing that. But one day, them girls came over, doing their homework, didn't help them. So I said, okay, I'll help you. I gave them the wrong answers. Pretty soon they got white. I got him not. They got wise after a while, though. They caught on that I was giving them the wrong answer. So they had to learn, which was good, you know. Yes, you got to learn your own self. As a kid, we used to play football, baseball. In the fall, when the first freeze up, we'd skate down the lake there. But they drained that lake out because there were so much mosquitoes that built up in that lake in front of White Mountain. So they built a ditch. They drained that out so there was no water anymore there. That's where we used to play football. In the bright moonlight, full moon, everybody used to go down and play football. The whole village would go down that lake, play football. You know, in them days, there was no trouble in the village. Everybody was united together, you know. They worked together, they played together, they hunted together. That was something that a person can never forget, say. My favorite memory was having Christmas with the whole family. My grandparents used to come from up Death Valley to White Mountain, have spent Christmas with us. The whole family would get together. That's the best memory I've ever had, because my grandmother used to talk to me about facts of life as a little boy. She used to tell me, someday you're going to get married. I was 5, 4, 6 years old. I never talked back to her. She'd sit me down, I'd just listen. But when she said, you're going to get married someday, in my mind, I'd answer, though, as if I would. But I never talked back to her. I just said, as if I would. Anyhow, she used to predict, here's what's going to happen in your life. You know what she predicted in my lifespan? It went right straight down on that nazis. I got married, got kids, grandkids. That's something that, you know, you treasure as a father or grandpa. Those grandchildren, oh man, they just right to your heart. When we moved to White Mountain, we used to go up the Fish River, and my grandparents from Death Valley, they'd go to the Fish River in the spring. When the squirrels come out, we'd squirrel hunt up there together, and then camp in the flat there. After the ice went out, my grandmother used to go out there, make me catch ptarmigan. When they get, you know, brown neck, make me catch a male ptarmigan. Then she'd skin it out. Then she'd stuff it with grass. I put a stick on it. Then we'd go out away from the camp. We'd cut willows where ptarmigan eats. We'd make a circle of willows. And then we'd put snares on each. Then put that ptarmigan in the middle there. What she called Aupkadak. She's that ptarmigan. When we go further down there and watch it, a male ptarmigan would see that ptarmigan, what we put up, say. He'd go there, he want to fight him, say. He'd see that snare, and then he'd go in there and he'd snare himself. If we'd leave it overnight, there was a ptarmigan in every snare. Male ptarmigan, say. Grandmother had sinew-made snares, reindeer sinew or homemade snares for ptarmigan. She also had snares for squirrels, too, as well. I used to pack her traps and snares along when she went squirrel hunting, too. Those were the days, happy days. You know, every time we go out, when I go with her squirrel hunting, when we stop to rest, she talked to me about facts of life. Being honest, you believe in your maker upstairs. They couldn't read or write, you know, but they knew there was something that took care of everything, see. They meant the God up here we had, see. And then my grandmother used to tell me, you keep yourself clean. You keep yourself physically clean, also spiritually. Even if you don't have everything at home, you keep yourself clean. You know, I never forgot that. So I try to keep myself clean. And then she'd pray for me. She'd put her hand on my head. She'd pray for me. You know, even now I can hear her prayers. You know, that's something that I'll never forget. That was the one most memorable thing I have in my heart, say. You know, everything she said was true, you know. She never gets mad, no matter what, she never gets mad. Easy going old lady. Man, that's one grandma I'll never forget, though. My mother's side, my grandmother was opposite. She's cold all the time. But my dad's mother was different. She never get mad. Lily, and her name, Eskimo name was Kuyenna. Other grandma's name was Mamak. She was from up around Kotzebue area. She speaks Malimiu. And then when they moved to Ilim, they speak that Unalek dialect, see. Why my mother never spoke to us about Unalek dialect, why, I don't know. We spoke our dad's dialect, Inupiaq, see. Only time Mom ever spoke Unalek was when she met with her girlfriends when she grew up with, like Maude Moses or Mrs. Boone from Gallivan. They talked Unalek. Why she never spoke that language to us, I don't know. I never did ask why. My dad spoke Kawera Miu, like my grandma. She's from Kawera, up this area. My dad grew up around Teller area. We used to fish up the Fish River. put away dried fish during the summer. We fill up our big cache, nothing but dried fish, from June, July, August, September. We'd stay there in fish camp, just fill that cache with fish. Them days, there's a lot of salmon, even fall salmon, not like now, see? It was just fish them days. You hang 500 fish in a day, that was just normal. That's what we did. My sister and I, we used to cut fish from sunrise till sunset. We enjoyed that though, we did it. When you're out fishing or hunting, when you get your fish, you feel you did something right. When there's hardly any animals to hunt, it kind of scares you, you know? When I was growing up, my grandparents used to tell me, don't play with animals. If you're not going to eat the animal, don't kill it, see? Only time you can kill your animal is if you're going to eat it, but if you're not going to eat it, you leave it alone. My grandmother used to say, any living thing in our earth here was put down by our maker for our use. She said, don't play with animals, don't kill them for fun. Only time you ever kill them is when you want to eat them. That's what they used to tell me. We listened, we did it too. When you're out hunting, when you get something, you take it home, you share it with everyone, see? But if you don't share that animal, what you catch, next time you go out hunting, the animals, they disappear from you. They'll shy away from you. But if you share an animal with everybody, you know, less fortunate, next time you go, it's easier to catch an animal. That's the way it was. And I believe that, because I've done it, see? That's what my grandparent, my parent told me. You share and share alike. You don't be greedy with what you catch. You give it away. Anybody wants food, you just give it to them. And that's the way it was. My grandmother used to make a gutaka out of a pike. She'd bone them out after she cooked them, and I'd help her. And then she'd get a big wooden bowl, like what Grandpa made. You drain the fat, and then she'd make it. I'd lay down by there, I'd watch her on the floor. We should not get sleepy, try to wait for that outdoor so I can teach it. She'd make it. I'd ask her, is it done yet? She said, no. She said, we got to cool it off too after a while. Pretty soon she'd get done. She'd take it outdoors, she'd cool it off. And then she'd bring it in after it cooled off. And that's when I would have some of that akputak. She used to make good ones. She used to put berries in there too. Blackberries, you know. She'd make good akputak. That reindeer fat, the fish. My grandmother had wooden bowls, different sizes, berry buckets my grandpa made. You know these fallen down trees, their roots. He'd take those and he'd make those as wooden bowls, the roots from those spruce trees. My grandpa was left-handed. Everything he sharpened, his axe is his left-handed sharpened, see? If you're right-handed, you can't use that. And then his little hatchet, his knives were just razor sharp. He wouldn't let nobody touch him except me. I used to play with him. He never said anything to me. I was the only one that could fool around with his tools. He won't let nobody else touch him. I think I was a favorite, I think. Anyhow, I tried to carve with him. I wasn't left-handed, see? He was left-handed. He sharpened him left-handed, see? My Eskimo name is Tukunga. That was my dad's mother's dad. Tukunga was his name. And the bear mauled him when he was a young man. Bear was after him up on a hill. He run downhill, and there was a bunch of alders, you know. He didn't have time to go around, so he jumped over them. When he jumped over those alders, one of those all this tripped his legs, see, and he landed on the ground, rolled. That's when the bear got hold of him, and then the bear started mauling him. He took his scalp right there and just tore it up. Him and that bear, they fought. He killed the bear, though. He survived. He took that skin, but the bear flipped. He pulled back. He healed up right there with the scars, but he made it. And then his teasing cousins, his name was Dukunga. After that bear mauled him, after he survived, they gave him another name. They told him, "You're Chownigo." That means leftover bone, see? Chownigo. That's what they told him. You're Chownigo now. Your other name will be Chownigo. One thing that hurts me, though, is our Native people up here are not taking their education seriously. We didn't have no high school when I was growing up. Now they got high schools in every village. They could go to college, and they're not taking it. And that's what hurts my in here, see, to see our Native people ignore that education. If you don't have an education, you're out, man. Now it's modern living now, see. You know, getting taught by the elders in our villages, that's something that you can treasure, you know. You know, there was no problems in the villages when we were growing up. Nobody fight, no fights. Everybody got along well, because we help each other, you know. But it's different now. It's dog eat dog now, see? It's different. It's not like when I was growing up. You know, when I talk to these high school students up here that no public school, they want me to talk to them kids. I talk to them, you know. They wouldn't listen to their teachers. So when I get them together, I tell them what I went through in my growing up years, like I was in their age, see. We didn't have electricity, no radio, no television. And they listen. They never make a noise. They just stood there and listened, see. That teacher, when I first talked to those kids, she said, "That's the first time those kids ever get that quiet to listen to someone talk."
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.